About 10, 15 minutes away before we play and replay the greatest history in our greatest segment, I think, in the history of Sports Talk Radio. That was Dan Le Batard's epic rant 10 years ago plus one day after LeBron James made his decision. Yes. And by the way, Billy, we're playing the 4 minute. We're not playing the 10 minute rip. So you win this round, my friend. Peter Burns, Katie George here. Remember, all guests appear via the Dan Le Batard, on the Dan Le Batard show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Bill Barnwell is going to be joining us here to talk a little NFL momentarily. But first, right now, Katie George, a SportsCenter update.
Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson has issued two separate statements, Peter, apologizing for an anti-Semitic post on his social media Monday. Jackson said he had no hatred toward the Jewish community and made a promise to do better. Jimmy Johnson has tested negative twice now for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race this Sunday at Kentucky Speedway after his positive test on Friday. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Joining us right now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, the host of the Bill Barnwell Show podcast, Mr. Bill Barnwell himself. And Bill, I wanted to have you on today because I thought no one did a better job of breaking down Patrick Mahomes making half a billy. At least that was the headline. But when you started diving into this deal with him and the Chiefs, that was record-breaking. What ultimately does this deal look like, and how is it going to change the league?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to make a lot of money. Like, that, let's leave that part aside. He's going to get rich one way or another. And I think he's going to make $500 million over the next 12 years. Just don't think it's going to be totally under this deal. It's really kind of two separate six-year contracts, six-year $180 million deal in that range, and then 6 years for the rest, which is about $320 million or so. So I think because of the structure of the deal, because of the way that the money is guaranteed, I think it's likely that after 6 years, the two sides go back to the table and say, hey, you know, he might be a bargain at that point, even though he's making $50 million a year. So I think they're going to go back and restructure, maybe add a year or two, you know, just kind of make it a different sort of contract. So I don't think he's going to be sitting here for 12 years on this contract, but he's going to make a ton of money, whether it's 500, 550, 600. He's going to be making more than $500 million over the next 12 years if he stays healthy. And I think, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but when I wrote about this contract, I started thinking, okay, well, is there anybody else in the NFL who could justify this sort of contract? And my answer was no. I don't think there's anybody else who could sit here and ask for this sort of deal who I'd feel good about handing the same sort of contract, which speaks to, you know, I think how little it might change the league in some ways, but also just how uniquely special Patrick Mahomes is.
Now, what about Lamar Jackson, if Lamar Jackson has the season like Patrick Mahomes? Because remember, Patrick Mahomes had a great year. They end up not winning the Super Bowl, comes back, he wins it. If Lamar Jackson takes the Ravens to the Super Bowl and wins it, could we not see Lamar cash in on a deal like this?
I mean, if he wants it, you know, I think if that happens and he wants it, I don't see how the Ravens would say no. I couldn't fault them for giving him that contract. He's an incredible player. I think he's so smart with how he uses his body to keep himself healthy. He gets out of bounds. He doesn't take unnecessary hits, but he's still a running quarterback. He's still going to take more hits than, you know, Patrick Mahomes would, or Deshaun Watson would, or, you know, any of the guys who really, you know, are not running as frequently as Lamar does. And I think that's, you know, I think he's a great pocket passer. I think he can be that guy, you know, be an effective guy if he's not running as much as he does. But I think the offense he's in calls for him to do that. So, you know, would I be uncomfortable with the Ravens giving Lamar Jackson the same amount of money on a yearly basis? Not at all. I think that, yes, I would say it's totally fine. But would I want to guarantee him money 10 years from now? I'd be a little nervous. And I think that's nothing against Lamar Jackson. It's just, you know, the nature of being a running quarterback in the NFL is different than being Patrick Mahomes, who is, you know, a guy who occasionally runs, but is really more of a, you know, a passer.
Bill, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. Let's take this a step further. How does Mahomes' contract impact Dak Prescott and Watson moving forward?
I don't think it does that much because those guys both want shorter contracts. They really want a 3-year extension, maybe a 4-year deal. You know, maybe Dak will get a 5-year deal. It's hard to say, but they don't want a 10-year contract or a 12-year contract. So you look at the money Patrick Mahomes is making over the first 5 years of this deal. It's about $140 million, somewhere in the $28 million a year range, which Dak Prescott is going to get more than that. Dak Prescott was already expecting to get somewhere around $34 or $35 million a year. So You know, I don't think it's really going to end up being all that comparable because, you know, I don't think the Cowboys will sit here and say, hey, let's pay you less money because Patrick Mahomes took less money up front because he's getting so much guaranteed down the line. And from Dak's side, you know, he doesn't really have that desire to get the same sort of length of contract. So, you know, I think if anything, it sort of helped those teams because if Patrick Mahomes had taken a 3-year deal for a massive amount of money, that would have been a much more direct comparable than the deal he actually ended up getting.
Sure. So how does this affect Chris Jones and what he wants to accomplish in his deal?
Yeah, this is actually a really good thing for the Chiefs because they did not change the cap situation at all by signing this extension for the next 2 years. Patrick Mahomes has pretty much identical cap hits to what he would have had if they had not signed him to an extension in 2020 and 2021. So now, if the Chiefs want to get a Chris Jones deal done, they can do it. They can afford it on their cap over the next couple of years, depending on how they structure it. If they want to re-sign Travis Kelce, who's coming up for free agency, they can do that and get that done without having to worry about it impacting their cap. So because they were willing to guarantee so much money down the line, they were able to get pretty friendly terms over the next 3 years, really.
Bill Baumrill joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show, Peter Burns and Katie George via the Shell Pinzor Performance Line. Cam Newton and the Patriots. We saw the video they came out, just said, how are they going to pick him over me? And then he started naming 14 different animals in the jungle and went off. You're a smart man. How's that work in Foxborough?
I think it works. I really do. I think it's funny because, to me, not only is he a replacement for Tom Brady, he's a replacement for Rob Gronkowski. And the reason why is that, for years, the Patriots offense worked upon succeeding where you wanted to try and stop them to fail. So when the Patriots came out with big sets, two running backs, two tight ends, they threw the ball because they had Rob Gronkowski, who was a wide receiver caliber talent at tight end. And when they came out with 3 or 4 wide receivers, spread you out, they ran the ball effectively because Rob Gronkowski is a beast of a blocking offensive lineman in a tight end's body. Last year, they didn't have Gronk. That offense fell apart. They didn't have that ability. Now with Cam, they have a guy who can do that. If they want to spread you out with those 3-4 wideout sets, you come back with 6 defensive backs. Now you have Cam running in the box against a light box and a bunch of defensive backs. That's not good for the health of your defensive backs. And then you come out with 2 running backs, 2 tight ends. You bring out that big set to try and run the football. Now you have play-action opportunities. You have downfield passing opportunities. And Cam is a very effective play-action passer. So I think it's a great schematic fit, and I think that Cam is healthier than people are giving him credit for. I really believe that based on, you know, the typical healing rates of a Lisfranc injury or a shoulder surgery. I think he is going to be in good shape. I think the lacking training camp, lacking the preseason might hurt, but I think he's going to be a better option than a lot of people are giving him credit for.
And maybe better option than Jarrett Stidham, who was going to be or penciled in at first the starter, the former Auburn quarterback there for the Patriots. All right. Last question, the most important one here for our show that we've been debating in the commercial break today. Do you remember exactly where Bill Barnwell was at when Ray Allen hit the shot against the Spurs in Game 6 in 2013?
That's a good question. I think I was in Los Angeles doing some stuff for Grantland. I think I was watching it at a bar. I don't remember which bar it was in Los Angeles, but I'm pretty sure I can at least narrow down the city. And I didn't live in Los Angeles at the time, so I feel like, you know, knowing I was in a different place from where I live is probably the best I can do.
Now, do you remember where you were at specifically when 10 years ago today, LeBron James had the decision with Jim Gray?
Yes, I was in a very smelly beer-strewn apartment in the Boston suburbs, you know, probably tweeting about it to a very small population of Twitter followers before Twitter was really prominent, trying to figure out if it was going to leak before the decision happened, probably complaining that, you know, that ESPN was taking so long to get to the actual decision itself.
Sure.
In the decision story, because I was not an ESPN employee at the time. So I feel like I was, again, drinking, but in a different place this time.
you've proved my point. I'm so excited, Katie. That was the right answer for Bill Barnwell. Because you were like, I kind of think I was here when that shot. But you remember how smelly the apartment was and that the fact that you were drinking alcoholic beverages, Katie George. That's what Bill Barnwell did when the decision went down.
He's just forgetting he was at a Chili's out in L.A. when he
Chris
watched Cody. The
Rams. Yes. That was the case. Bill, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. It's going to be fascinating to see how the Chiefs use this to kind of restructure the rest of their team. The fact that they only added, $40,000 to the salary cap just feels like cheating. And one of the reasons why they'll probably be the favorite to win it all again next year. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
There it is. Bill Barnwell joining Peter Burns and Katie George here. All right, little live read. What do we got here, Katie George?
Advance Auto Parts, Peter, has added another winner to their roster, Die Hard Batteries. That's right, Die Hard Batteries are now at Advance. And if you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get free testing and free installation with purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
Bronx Bomber 79 is in here on Twitter, says, hey, Levitard Show, the substitutes are doing much better this week, especially how bad they started this week off. Thanks for correctly pronouncing asterisk.
You're welcome. Well. I corrected myself.
I knew that you would like that, Katie George. All right, coming up, I promise it, we're going to revisit it. 10 years ago today, LeBron James decided he was taking his talents to South Beach, and what it gave us was one of the greatest moments in sports talk history. Dan Levitard's epic rant a decade ago. Next here on the Levitard Show. Welcome back to Dan Levitard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George. Follow us on Twitter at Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. And of course, ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. And if you miss any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Levitard Show, plus Dugatz, plus the Miami Only Hour and the Best Of podcast on demand on the ESPN app. And subscribe to Levitard and Friends Podcast Network, featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes posted every week wherever you get your podcast. 10 years ago today, LeBron James and Jim Gray sat into a gym and changed. The butterfly effect that changed all of the NBA and really the sports world and even sports media. And before, Katie, you and I were kind of discussing what we wanted to have on the show today, and I'm thinking 10 years ago today led me to the reason why I became such a Levitard Show fan, was one segment and one segment only. So, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the morning after LeBron James decided to take his talents to South Beach, the Dan Levitard Show started in its entirety this way.
I don't believe in the chemistry stuff. I don't believe
in pieces fitting. Well, let's see what you got. What do you got?
Because Ron Artest just won the championship. He never fit with that team. I've seen this Heat team win a championship with pieces that didn't really fit.
He knows
what I want. Look at this. What are you doing it for me for? I'm going with the dream scenario that's being talked about right now.
I'm pushing this guy away from Miami, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't think he wants to play with Dwayne Wade. I don't think that's going to work.
Whatever the Heat said in 3 hours, how is it going to make up for the $35 or $40 million he's got to leave on the table? And that's going to be the toughest part of the conversation.
You know, it's easy for these guys to say, hey, leave $34 to $50 million on the table because they want you to sign with that team. But nobody in their right mind is going to leave $34 to $50 million on the table.
It's the $40 million. And Pat Riley can dress beautifully and talk slickly and fire people up and get people tearing up. $40 million.
Dwayne Wade is signing with the Chicago Bulls, not Miami.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, it's very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Woo! He won 66 games without Dwayne Wade! He's the best player in the world! But he might not be the best player on this team! Chris Bosh, you're the third best player on this team! New York, welcome to another decade of irrelevance! Cleveland's owner is a crazy person! Happy LeBronica! Give it to me again! Give it to me again! I'm not done! Give it to me again! Our half-full sports bar exploded in joy! Run the point night! One lucky fan gets to run the point. Every night for the Heat, it helps under the salary cap. The lucky fan gets to keep the jersey. New York, welcome to another decade of irrelevance. Stugatz, are you feeling it?
Oh, I'm feeling it, Levitz.
Riley got everybody.
He got them all.
Discounted. Gangster, pimp, Don, Godfather. He got them all. Everybody wanted one of them. He got them all. Discounted. Holla. Purple drink. A double rainbow! A double rainbow!
I want more!
Rock me! Give it to me again! Give it to me again! A two-time MVP in his prime! He's 20, believe it, 5 years old! I don't even know if he's the best player on this team!
Who cares?
Who cares? Our half-full sports bar, Stugatz. Did you see the way it erupted?
Oh, I did.
Seven people wearing Heat jerseys.
I counted 12 at the Ale House.
Oh, God.
I heard it how many times today? Maybe five times, and it gets better every single time. Katie George, we're ranking the moments of Le Batard's infamous rant. What is the most memorable part of the infamous rant 10 years ago plus one day?
I think when he shouts purple drink.
Purple
like,
drink!
That to me was iconic, hilarious. Like, I have tears in my eyes just listening to it for what, the seventh time today?
Purple
drink. Been through
drink.
It so many times. Oh. It made the decision worth it for me. Like, I remember watching the decision with my dad. I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Social media wasn't huge back then at that point. And thinking, like, gosh, that's not that cool that we just watched an hour of that. And then to hear who Dan Le Batard, who I hadn't heard really the show, wasn't really sure who he was at that point. And then to see and then listen to that open of a show, I was like, wow, I'm actually kind of glad LeBron made his way down to South Beach and decided to go there just so I could hear that masterpiece of a segment.
And so think about it. Not only is it the passion, right, the unbridled passion about Dan Le Batard, who loves Miami more than anything. He talked about it later in that first hour because I re-listened to it, and he said, listen, I've had offers to go to California. I've had offers to go to New York City. The reason why I don't, you could pay me a boatload of money. I could be infinitely rich, but I love Miami. And there was a passion about it, but there was also a truth to it as well, right? It was New York. Welcome to a decade of mediocrity. We sit here in 2020. Was he not spot on that, Katie? I mean, the butterfly effect of him sitting with Jim Gray in the Boys and Girls Club and raising $2 million. And then the next morning, him actually saying, yes, that's correct. Another decade and here we are with the Knicks not doing it. I mean, how much changed in that world? I mean, listen, Miami to me had the two biggest butterfly effects in all of sports history, okay? I believe LeBron deciding that he was going to take his talents to South Beach in Miami, that was one, right? Change the league, change what the Knicks were going to do for a decade, change what Miami did for a decade, created the going back to Cleveland. And the second part about that are the doctors at Miami Dolphins in that medical facility, because at some point they looked at Drew Brees' shoulder and then his rotator cuff, I think that was the injury, and they said, I don't think we can pass Drew Brees' physical. Sorry, Nick Saban, you're going to have to get Dante Culpepper. They get Dante Culpepper, and of course, that doesn't work out. Nick Saban, the butterfly effect from that, ends up going to Alabama. So possibly one of the greatest players in the history of the game and changed the dynamics of the game, LeBron James, that decision originated in Miami, and the greatest coach in the history of college football, a decision made in Miami, completely changed the landscape of that. There it is.
Chris, you were grimacing when he brought up Drew Brees. Is that something that you guys still remember and can't get over?
I mean, We're talking about such a great time in Miami sports, and then you have to take it right there to us not getting Drew Brees and picking Dante Culpepper. Those are two, you know, high and low moments for South Florida sportsmen. But he brings up a good point. Like, a lot of big things that have led to other things started in Miami like 10 years ago.
Yeah, but he's a Spurs fan. I mean, so you knew he was going to, like, add a little salt to the wound because he's a Spurs fan. And
I hate Ray Allen. Like, I hate Derek Fisher and I hate Ray Allen. These are two people that honestly, if I saw stranded on the side of the road at some point as a San Antonio Spurs fan, Derek Fisher for .4 in 2004, which would have meant that San Antonio Spurs would have won, what, 3 state championships. And Ray Allen's stupid little shot in the corner when they were rolling out the trophy, like it was done. I'm sitting in humble brag here. I'm sitting in Florence, Italy with my wife. Before we had kids, we could actually travel the world. And I'm up at like 3 a.m. and I break an iPad in a place and I just throw it when Ray Allen hits the shot. Because you knew it was over at that point, right? I don't know what the line was for Game 7 of Heat Spurs, but I guarantee you, if it wasn't, it had to be, what do you think it was, Chris? 2? We think the line was 2?
$2 million, I think.
It could have been minus 20, and that line might not have been enough because there was no way the Spurs were actually going to win a title after Ray Allen hit that shot. So, yes.
Peter, I know you have the attention span of a teaspoon, but are we going to just gloss over what happened right before we came out of our commercial break? What was said?
I honestly, because I'm so ADD, I have no idea. I blanked out a little bit.
Chris, our dear friend Chris, who we've been hanging out with for the last 3 days.
Chris Cody, yes. You called him scum of the earth.
Earth-shattering as we were coming back from break.
Okay. Hang tight. What changed Chris's mind on a huge, huge decision here on the show? This might be bigger than LeBron's decision.
Well, it is.
I'm being serious. It is. Katie George, you can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. This is the Dan Le Batard Show. Wait, who was that with the strikeout call here on the Le Batard Show? Was that you, Cody? Chris Cody.
Yep, that's me.
How can you
baseball umpire for like 4 years?
Really? Little league, minor league ball, like softball,
not
CYO,
T-ball.
What was
this?
It
was like this was like kids like 11 and 12, just like rec league, home plate umpire.
Do you ever get ripped? How often do you get ripped like that?
A lot of parents didn't like, because I was very, I had a tight zone, let's say. And I wasn't given the edges. Just because your kid's 11 and you're playing rec ball, like, if it's not on the plate, it's a ball. Sorry.
Sorry, kid. Can't hit the strike zone. Play Fortnite a little bit harder. Chris Cody, right there. Scum, according to Katie George and Derek Pomanski of LSU Football. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Peter Burns, Katie George here. Katie, now time for a SportsCenter update. Hiya!
Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson has issued 2 separate statements at this point, apologizing for an anti-Semitic post on his social media Monday. Jackson said he had no hatred toward the Jewish community and made a promise to do better. After testing positive for COVID-19 last Friday, Jimmy Johnson has now tested negative twice for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race this Sunday at Kentucky Speedway. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know. Your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05. Myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. You said favorite stat. The only thing better than a stat is a good confession or a good person coming up and being secure enough that they change their mind, Katie. And I feel like we had that in a commercial break. Normally, we're not supposed to bring up business in a commercial break on air, but I feel in the Dan Le Batard Show, it's only right. You want to tell everybody what happened and kind of shocking revelation in the commercial break?
Well, yeah, because Chris Cody has been so strong and unwavering on his stance that you are not a bad person, you are not a piece of scum on the underbelly of the earth if you leave your shopping cart wherever you please in a parking lot outside of your favorite supermarket or store. Chris does not return his shopping cart to the normal collection sites that are spread out across parking lots because he thinks that he's ensuring job security because it's someone's job to go out and collect those said carts. He yesterday was adamant that he was not in the wrong and that he was sticking to his guns.
He was dying on that hill.
He was dying on that hill. And after numerous people have come on this show and discussed with us the importance of being a member of society and taking your cart back to the collection sites or just returning it to the actual store, Chris said something pretty enlightening in the commercial break. And I think that this just speaks to how people can have courage and guts to change their mind when they're educated and hear other people's stances on things. Chris, what did you say right before we came back from the commercial?
I said, and I want to preface it by saying, I will not be judging these people. All right, what I said was, is I am open to the possibility of possibly changing my stance and starting to change my strategy and return the carts after I'm done shopping. Now, having said that, one thing I will not be doing
is judging
people.
At this point, I'm just trying to figure it kind one of just thing, like, well, we're open to possibilities of possibly changing.
He did this not like, have possibly and probably in his statement. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to start taking my cart back. That's what you said.
Okay.
You had a chance to rehab your image here, and now you're already crawfishing on this thing. Go.
Look, I just don't, because there's people that have supported me, like the six or seven people that tweeted me their support. I don't want to let those people down. So what I'm going to say is I'm not going to judge the people that continue to do that and leave their cart and keep the job security for the people whose job it is. And all right. But yes, the next time I go to the grocery store, I will return my cart and I will bring it all the way back just because I'm tired of being called scum. And that's really it. Because like I was just like, is it really that serious?
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like, you know, leaving my cart. So.
And this is what happens when you bully someone. So just, we're all clear, it does work if you bully someone into doing something that you want.
You strike me as a guy that probably doesn't clean up dog poop either. I feel like that's the whole... Like,
don't
I feel
open
like,
this can of worms. Do not.
What?
I mean, we've got a good afternoon ahead of us.
Do we?
I don't want to know the answer to that question now that we've just got him to pivot from his original point.
Chris, are you a non-dog poop picker-upper truther? Is this true?
Does it make it any better if I only babysit my parents' dog on occasion? So I'm not like a full-time dog owner, but the once or twice every couple months that I have my dog at my house, when I take it out for a walk, do I sometimes bend over and do the fake pickup? Yes.
Yes, I do, Peter Burns.
Okay, maybe I do, but I'm not a full-time dog owner. I feel like that makes it a little better. I'm not sure why, but that's my stance.
So you're the guy.
You go through the motion.
Oh, yeah.
It's right in front of you. Why don't you just finish the action?
Because it's stinky. What am I supposed to do with it?
Wait, finish the walk
with this stinky bag?
So after the dog poops, by the way, ESPN Radio, Peter Burns, Katie George, sports eventually.
Don't say our names at this point. I don't want people to know.
They'll take that out on the podcast, trust me. Do you actually have a bag? Do you have like a poop bag for the dog? So you actually have the bag, you bend over, but you don't actually pick up said poop. So you're just...
I only do the bend over and the fake pickup if I see somebody, because I always look around, and it's like, oh, there's a guy like 100 yards away. He might be looking at me and judging me, so I need to do the old bend over. If there's nobody around, I'll just kind of, you know, go about my day.
So you literally take the bag as a prop? Like, the bag is your prop on your walks?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I'm triggered again. Like, I'm glad I took my sweatshirt off for this segment because, my gosh, I'm sweating again.
You can lead the horse to water. That's all I can say. And he was almost there. He was so close. And then you just go. You ran 26 miles of the marathon. The last tube just fell flat on his face. Peter Burns.
He goes through the motions. He goes through the motions and just won't pick it up.
Runs. I mean, listen, don't even get me started here. You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Dan Le Batard Show, Peter Burns, Katie George in this week. ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, no truth to the matter that we have been hosting the last 3 days. Now the show is canceled just to 2 hours or moving to 2 hours. Just want to make sure that rumor that was out there in the Le Batard Reddit world. We have not put that far in the ground. I don't think so. Katie George, Peter Burns here. Billy, we put a late poll up on the Le Batard Twitter account. Can you please... The way you crafted this was pretty fantastic. I don't want to ruin this. So make sure that you nail this poll. How did you present the poll question here?
All right. The poll is worst person. Person who doesn't take back their shopping cart, or person who pretends to pick up their dog's poop and leaves it there. And, you know, the choices is limited. So you had to vote either shopping cart person or fake poop pickup. 71% of the audience voted fake poop pickup.
What? 71% of the audience. I think they get the show. I think that's what it is. Okay, are you a little surprised with that? That the fake poop picker upper guy is worse than the shopping cart lever upper guy?
No, not at all. But I'm loving these comments. Jim tweets in, the poop by a country mile. Not putting the cart back is just laziness. The fake poop pickup is active deception, demonstrating consciousness of the wrongdoing. Not to mention that wild dog poop is worse than a wild shopping cart. That's kind of fair. And somebody else tweets in, they're probably the same person, which I can agree with that and get on board.
Joseph Simmons is in here. Mr. Joe Simmons says, listen, poop is completely biodegradable, and so it's fine. Just leave it. It'll be gone in 2 days. Anthony, I see you shaking your head. You are part of that culture, correct?
Yeah, I didn't want to limp in with it because Chris was just so valiant on his fake picking up the poop take. What I do with my family dog is whenever I take her out and she needs to go, I take her to a little bit more of a grassy rural area of the neighborhood. She does her business. I leave it there. I fertilize the soil and help the earth. So,
okay. So win-win is your thing. Okay.
It is a fertilizer. I mean, so you could make that argument.
You could reverse engineer your decision there, saying, hey, at least I'm helping the earth. And at least Anthony, when he walks the dog and fake picks up the poop, which I don't even think you fake pick up the poop. You just don't care at that point. That's what you're saying. I think the issue here is the actual deception of saying, hey, I've got the bag in hand like Chris Cody does, looks around, and then picks it up, but actually doesn't pick it up. I think that's where the deception is, and it does. It shows premeditation, which is bad. It's not good. Katie George, follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05. There were like 17 different stories we did not get into today, because obviously we had much more pressing sports news, like the dog poop and shopping cart issues. But which are the ones did we not get into today that you're upset about?
Well, I'm actually upset with you because you sent me an article, a new study reveals what's actually in hot dogs. Hint, it's not meat. You made me read it in the show prep for today's show, and then we haven't even discussed it. So you basically ruined hot dogs for me where it didn't even show up as a topic on this show. So I'm not happy about that because just research in this article is quite
listen, MotherJones.com had it, and it just said that Tyler Rouse, a pathologist for the Stratford General Hospital in Ontario, Canada, might be a fake hospital, but it sounds at least fairly reputable at this point. Like, the more names you put in it, the better. They got curious about were dogless hot dogs a couple of years ago, and they had the ability to figure it out. So they work in a lab. They make slides all day. So they went with no name brand from supermarket, an all beef dog, and a third from ballpark vendor. Then he took cross section of the slides. They found, to their surprise, that most slices consisted primarily of fat globules. Globules just sounds nastier, with very little skeletal muscle. And the researchers also found bits of bone, blood vessels, and cartilage, even plant material. I gotta be honest with you. Dogs taste good enough that if that's what it's made of, it didn't hurt my feelings. I might be more pro dog now. Now that I thought it was always like pig lips and stuff like that.
You are despicable. You know what? Move on. The other topic that we didn't get into was the eye for an eye match that we are all patiently waiting for to see how this goes down between these two WWE fighters. Of, I guess whoever is going to win has to remove the other person's eye first.
Rey Mysterio and Seth Hollins, is that correct? Not Ryan Hollins, but Seth Hollins is going to be an eye for an eye match. Seth Rollins, I don't follow WWE that much. Now, is this going to be a fake eye, real eye, Katie?
I mean, it's the WWE, so wouldn't we just assume it's fake? It's going to be a fake eyeball, or is that controversial? Somebody's really going to strip the other of their eyeball.
Are you more apt
to be pulled out?
Are you more snipped. Apt to watch the WWE thing because somebody may lose an eye, or Joe Johnson playing in the tournament that starts tomorrow, which he said he hasn't actually practiced with his teammates before the ball and the competition starts?
I don't know what this says about me, but I want to watch the eyeball get pulled out.
I think so. Just to see if it actually lived up to its hype, right? Follow us on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. Don't worry! Dan Le Batard is going to be back on Monday. Only one more day of us filling here on the Le Batard Show.